You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today it is Crossover Wednesday, so we will be joined once again by Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers. And the conversation Peter and I are going to have goes a lot differently than it did when he was first on this podcast back before week one, when he was mighty confident about the Green Bay Packers. And even though he ultimately predicted the outcome of the game correctly with a Bears loss, certainly that game didn't play out like either one of us expected, and a lot of unexpected things coming up into this Week 15 matchup. So we'll go back and forth on everything you need to know for the game and kind of what is coming up next for the future of Green Bay. Peter and I had plenty to go through here with a historic matchup, as always, with the Bears and the Packers. So I will turn it over to him, and we can jump right in.
So, Lauren, this is a very different conversation than we had the last time we spoke before week one. And I think both of us have very different feelings about the teams that we cover here. A lot has happened over the last few months that have changed. And that importantly alters this discussion that we're having here. But I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if we're being honest, even before that conversation and certainly after, I would find it hard to believe that you thought we would be here. I certainly didn't think that either of these teams would be in the positions that they are going into this game.
Yeah, I'm sure there are plenty of optimistic Bears fans out there that saw this team at 9-4 after 14 weeks and just defeating the first place Los Angeles Rams on Sunday Night Football. But yes, that was not me back at the beginning of September, even after the addition of Khalil Mack. You know, I think we all kind of thought, you know, that kind of change would have a big impact, but it's had certainly a huge impact on this team, and it's helped these two teams go in opposite directions. And plenty of people have speculated what would happen if Mack had gone to Green Bay and not Chicago, but I'm sure that's a discussion for another time.
And that's not a discussion my listeners are really going to relish, given how that's worked out for the Bears and what's happened for the Packers. And you mentioned the Khalil Mack trade. When we had our first Crossover Wednesday, we spent a lot of time talking about the Khalil Mack trade that had just happened. And now, you know, the paths have diverged even further with the Packers firing their head coach. So, I mean, you want to talk about opposite paths. It's hard to imagine two franchises going in more different directions over the last 3 months than these two teams. The Bears very much look like a team on the rise. What has stood out to you in terms of things that are surprising about, because you mentioned you did not think this team would be in this position. I didn't. I think a lot of people didn't. But so what do you think is the difference? What is there that you didn't think would be or would be this fast?
Well, I think the defense is playing at a higher level than I thought. And, you know, you look at the talent on this team, it's there. There's guys that you like. But, you know, besides Khalil Mack, when you talk about household names throughout the rest of the NFL, there's not really a ton of guys there. Certainly Akeem Hicks has always been underrated in the eyes of fans and analysts alike. But, you know, there's not a lot of that true star power. But what's happened is a lot of guys really stepping up and playing some of their best football. You know, Kyle Fuller looking like a Pro Bowl cornerback, leading the league right now in interceptions. That's really been a huge difference for the defense, creating those turnovers. And Eddie Jackson at free safety taking that next step to really, you know, establish himself as a potential Pro Bowl caliber type safety this season with his play back there. I mean, those two guys exceeding expectations even for, you know, a little bit of growth forward. They've taken big steps forward, and I think that's been big for the turnover generating. You know, Akeem Hicks continuing his high level of play, Eddie Goldman as well. And then, you know, even younger guys getting in the rotation like Bilal Nichols on the defensive line and, you know, obviously Roquan Smith at linebacker. It just seems like everything seems to be going right for this defense, and it's really been able to carry them quite a bit through these games. And then, you know, I think offensively it's kind of a little bit more what you expected, with some ups and downs with Mitch and Matt Nagy being able to create a lot with some creativity. But it, to me, this is the story of this Bears season, is this defense and just how well they've exceeded expectations.
Yeah, and I wrote about Mitch Trubisky last week for SB Nation, and it was really interesting to talk to Matt Nagy and Dave Ragone and Mark Helfrich about his development. And they said flat out, we had to retrain him to be aggressive and throw the ball downfield. And I think it really speaks to the damage in a very real way that John Fox and Dowell Loggins did to Mitch Trubisky in this offense last year, and to an extent Ryan Pace, for not putting, you know, really even replacement level players around this team last year. It's not just Khalil Mack, as you mentioned, on the defense. You look at the offense, and Tariq Cohen has an expanded role with Matt Nagy, and Adam Shaheen is healthy and doing things. Trey Burton comes in the offseason. They draft Anthony Miller. They pay big money for Robinson. And so this is a fundamentally different team than we saw a year ago. I mean, what do you think their ceiling is, and are they going to be able to keep this core together once Mitch Trubisky needs to get paid, once Eddie Jackson needs to get paid, once, you know, does Danny Trevathan get another contract in Chicago? I mean, are you already sort of thinking long term about how long this core can be intact and be relatively cheap? Because Ryan Pace spent last season with a rookie quarterback salary and some of these other star players not making star money, because Khalil Mack is making star money.
Yeah, the Bears are pretty well locked in for the next 2 years. That's kind of the time frame right now, where you look across the board, almost all of their starters. I think right now Adrian Amos is set to be a free agent, and you know, their slot cornerback is going to be a free agent as well. And there's a few guys here and there, offensive line, a spot here there too. But for the most part, your key players at, you know, quarterback, tight end, receiver, running back, defensive line, linebacker, pretty much all the defense, they're all locked in at least through 2020 in their current contracts. And I think that's kind of the range right now, that in the modern NFL, you got to win while you still have that rookie quarterback money. And I don't think the Bears have thought too much about the future beyond that. I think now that they've kind of reached this baseline level of competitive talent, now they can kind of turn their attention to, you know, restocking and kind of building again more from the ground up rather than the top down with sort of the big free agent acquisitions. They can, and even though they don't have the draft picks now from Khalil Mack and you know, all they had to trade in that, you know, they can still try and focus on, you know, getting those guys underneath Robinson and Gabriel, underneath the free agent that you had, so that eventually when those bigger contracts start to come up, you have homegrown talent still on cheap contracts to kind of fill in the gaps there and move forward, you know, into the next sort of era of this, the next iteration of this type of Bears team. But I kind of feel like the Packers are approaching a similar type of turning point here. I mean, obviously it's a turning point with the head coach, but as far as a roster construction standpoint, it seemed like last offseason we started to see Brian Gutekunst turn over some of the Ted Thompson players and get rid of some of the, you know, I think back to even earlier this year with HaHa Clinton Dix going, and a very different looking secondary now. I mean, how much transition are you expecting here moving forward, you know, as a new head coach comes in? Obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to stick around, but for the most part, is he kind of the one untouchable at this point?
Well, to your point about the Bears being with their core for the next 2 years, Green Bay, at least this offseason, is really well positioned to be able to bring back all of the players they want and not have to overpay for any of the players that they might not want. Clay Matthews and Randall Cobb are the two big names, and I don't think we've seen anything from either of those two guys over the last few years to suggest they're going to get big paydays unless a team like Oakland is really going to fall in love with a veteran like Clay Matthews. I mean, they do need a pass rusher, right? But when you look at what this team is and their core players, a lot of them outside of Rodgers are really young. Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, Blake Martinez, Jair Alexander. And I think that is a really good sign for this team moving forward. They certainly still have holes at key positions. They do need an upgrade with their pass rush. And I think you know, they need some solidification along the offensive line. But this is a team that has talent and young talent. And they're going to have flexibility this offseason to bring in more players. And we've seen Brian Gutekunst. He did a really good job, I felt like, in free agency, bringing in some low-cost veterans. Muhammad Wilkerson, I thought, was a worthy risk to take there for the money. Tremont Williams, his versatility and being able to play corner and free safety has really paid off for Green Bay. They picked up extra picks in the HaHa Clinton Dix deal, who has not been good in Washington, and to the point that Jay Gruden won't even commit to starting him this weekend. And they have two first-round picks. Now, one of them is going to be in the low 20s, maybe even 30s with New Orleans, but Green Bay is also probably going to have their own top 15 pick. So they look to be well-positioned from a personnel standpoint. The question is about the coaching. Who is the coach to take this team to the next level? Bill Connolly did a really great piece for SB Nation about a lot of the statistical indicators with this team, and I wrote a separate but far less statistically intricate piece because he is a wizard with the numbers, and I am far less so. But they indicate a team that is better than the one that is the record that Green Bay is. I mean, this is not a team that anyone should think is a below 500 team based on talent. What they need is a coach to re-engage the roster, to re-engage the organization, and they had gotten a little bit complacent. And you heard Winston Moss in interviews mention that. You've seen it through reporting at Sports Illustrated, that piece about the disconnect between McCarthy and Rodgers mentioned a complacency within the organization. And that's the kind of thing this offseason that needs to be addressed by whoever the new head coach is. And I think that's the biggest advantage that Chicago has right now for all the talent on this team. And there's plenty of talent on the Bears roster. The biggest advantage they have right now is Matt Nagy. And you have to be impressed by what you've seen from him so far in year one.
Yeah, Peter. I mean, Matt Nagy was clearly the biggest key to all the Bears' offensive success this season. I know my fantasy team benefited greatly from Matt Nagy in Chicago, even though I didn't quite make the playoffs. But, you know, the fantasy football season isn't over for me because I play all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. At DraftKings, you are the GM. You just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition with a new team every week. No season-long commitment, no matter what your skill level is, there is a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play because nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line. Plus, you can play for free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use code LOCKEDON to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of, again, over $1.5 million in total prizes. That's code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Up next, we'll discuss the Packers' recent success under interim head coach Joe Philbin and how that may or may not carry over into Sunday's matchup. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Again, it is Crossover Wednesday here on Locked On Bears. I'm joined by Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers. And Peter, I'm wondering, what type of a difference was Joe Philbin able to make last week? I mean, obviously the Falcons are a team that's been a bit of a disappointment themselves, but they, you know, they've certainly had their share of ups and downs as well. And Packers come back after an embarrassing loss to the Cardinals and beat Atlanta and somehow keep the playoff hopes somehow still alive, although that they're really on their last life there. I mean, how much of that win over the Falcons was, you know, Joe Philbin making a difference versus just getting rid of Mike McCarthy versus maybe just kind of regression back to where they should have been?
There was a really interesting stat in a piece that Pete Doherty wrote for PackersNews.com, and it was syndicated across USA Today platforms, that I forget what the recent time frame was, but in the last 24 games after a team fired a head coach in the middle of the season, those teams were 10-14. And that doesn't seem like a great record, except those teams before they fired their coach had a win percentage in the 20s. So like the fact that they were near 500 in games where they had been, you know, not even half as good in the previous games speaks to, you know, this dead cat bounce idea that, you know, teams after a coach is fired, that usually injects some level of energy and verve into what you're doing as an organization. But you heard the Packers players all last week talk about buying into what Joe Philbin was doing and feeling the energy and the pressure. Because Mike McCarthy, for whatever criticisms you have of him, and trust me, I've had plenty, he still was a 13-year veteran coach, a Super Bowl winner, and a guy who was on his way to setting a new consecutive playoff streak record in Green Bay until Anthony Barr came down on Aaron Rodgers' collarbone last year. That was a big wake-up call for this organization. And that's the cultural piece of it, right? But then you look schematically and you say, how is this offense different? Well, they changed personnel a lot more. They went to a lot more quick rhythm passes and underneath throws early, not only to get Rodgers in a better rhythm, but to get the offensive line, which was without three of its starters, in a better rhythm with the game. That is a dangerous front four for Atlanta, much like Chicago has with their pass rushers as well. I expect a somewhat similar game plan. And they threw to get a lead, and then they ran to hold it. It was the theory that we thought coming into the year Green Bay would use to beat their opponents. It all just coalesced in a way that it hadn't before, and they were good on third down, and they were good in the red zone, which they hadn't been previously. Situational offense is two things. It's star players, and it's coaching. And Green Bay has the star players, but it didn't have the coaching. And Joe Philbin called a really good game. Aaron Rodgers made some plays with his legs on third down, and the defense played well. And this is the first game all season where offense, defense, and special teams all did their jobs and did them at a level that we thought they were capable of doing. If they do that again, they can beat a team like Chicago, a team that they've beaten 8 straight times in Chicago, and a team that Aaron Rodgers, over the course of his career, he's kind of owned.
And on the other side of that, I was wondering about this Packers defense. You'd mentioned it a little bit there because, you know, like since the bye week for the Packers, it seems like defensively they've done a good enough job. It hasn't been great, and you know that's obviously lost a lot of games in that span, but it's not like they're getting blown out by any particularly large margin. It looks like only one game allowing more than 30 points, and a lot of them keep staying right around that 20 mark. I mean, how has that defense been able to maintain a certain level despite so many injuries, it seems, and a lot of changes to the lineup across the board there?
And that one game you mentioned with the 30-plus points, that was against New England in a game where they needed multiple trick plays just to move the ball. And that was a game that was tied, you know, through three quarters. And Green Bay was right in that game. Defensively, the thing that has changed everything for Green Bay is Jaire Alexander getting healthy. He was healthy early in the season. The defense was playing well. He got hurt. They stopped playing well. And now he's back. And we saw the performance he had against Brandon Cooks erasing him from that game in L.A. He matched up against Julio Jones, played extremely well, did give up a touchdown, gave up a couple catches, two of which were upheld on replay, and at least one of them was an absolute garbage call. The other one was much closer, and I guess I understand why it was upheld, but you know that's not the point. His play has allowed everyone else to come. He's a tone setter and a culture setter. And Mike Pettine all season has been really great creating pressure with his blitz packages, with scheming free rushers. But when they haven't been able to get home, because the secondary has been so banged up, they've struggled to, it's like in basketball where a team that creates a lot of turnovers is often not a good half-court defense team because they rely so much on getting turnovers that if they don't, they allow easy buckets. That was kind of this Packers defense for a little bit. Now that Jair Alexander's healthy and Bashaud Breeland is healthy and Tremont Williams is playing free safety, Josh Jones is playing linebacker, that sort of hybrid overhang role, they've got a lot more speed and they've got a lot more playmaking in their secondary. And that's been the difference. This secondary looks different than it has in years past. And I think that's the reason, above all else, that they're playing better. The ascension of Kenny Clark, who I know is one of Pro Football Focus's top graded players in the whole league, not just defensive tackles, not just even defensive players. He's been at or just below an all-pro level this season. But I think that's been the real difference for this team. And to your earlier question, I think it's another reason why you look at this team and you say, okay, Josh Jackson had never really played man coverage in college, but 1 year of incredible production at Iowa, another Pro Football Focus favorite. And he comes in and is taking his lumps. He is going to get better. And Oren Burks, who the Packers traded up in the third round to get, who they really like, hasn't been able to get on the field because he is a former converted safety who's still figuring out how to play linebacker, still playing fast. He has to figure that part of it out. There are pieces in place here that are starting to really show their talent. Tony Brown, an undrafted free agent from Alabama, who I thought was a top 100 prospect, goes undrafted. Green Bay's able to pick him up. He has added some stability to this secondary. Might be a better man cover corner right now than Josh Jackson, which is pretty amazing. So that has been, I think, a stabilizing factor for this defense. And speaking of those secondaries and injuries, the Bears are dealing with a pretty major secondary injury with Bryce Callahan. He has a foot injury. He's going to be out at least this game, which is all my listeners really care about, to be honest. It's something that the Bears are going to have to deal with much longer than that, potentially. But he has been playing really well this year. And so to have to go to Sherrick McManus or Kevin Tolliver or whomever, that puts strain on this defense. What are you expecting Vic Fangio to do, and how do you expect him to mitigate that loss?
Yeah, so I this was going to be a matchup, even with Bryce Callahan healthy, that I had circled in this game. You think back to week one, Randall Cobb went off for, it was only game over 100 yards this season, and a lot of that came against Bryce Callahan in coverage. It was kind of one of the few down games we've seen from Callahan this season. And, of course, Callahan, I think the report now is that he has a broken foot, which happened only after about 13 plays in the last game. So Sherrick McManus filled in against the Rams, and I tweeted out at the time, I was like, that there's a big hole that the Bears are really going to have to watch out for. You know, look for Jared Goff to maybe attack the slot a little bit more, and they did a little bit, but I was really impressed with what Sherrick McManus was able to do. You know, a guy who is purely a special teams ace up to this point in his career. He's had opportunities on defense in the past. I think he might be the oldest player on the roster right now, one of the few guys up in his 30s at this point. And he's stepped up in a way that I just don't think we've seen that consistently from McManus at any point in his past on the defense. And so, you know, I think some of that is just the high quality of everyone around him and maybe some poor throws from Jared Goff making things look easier. But, you know, give him credit too for, you know, not being too afraid of the moment and or being too overwhelmed or by anything. He's not a guy that is going to make any big time plays on the ball, but there's some optimism that he can potentially hold up. And his primary defensive role before this was coming in dime packages as a blitzer, and that was like a really high percentage of his snaps were pass rushing snaps because Fangio would use him in those specific packages. And he's been pretty effective at getting after the quarterback. Even in this full-time slot role, he still blitzed 5 times and pressured the quarterback on 3 of those. So I think we're going to see some more blitzing from him in the slot. I think we're going to see the Packers challenge him with Randall Cobb as best they can. But that's really, to me, kind of one of the intriguing matchups is, you know, how much was week one an anomaly for Randall Cobb versus, you know, Bryce Callahan maybe having a bad game, or how much is that something Cobb can just kind of randomly pull out against the Bears again, against what might be an even more favorable matchup than he saw the first time. I definitely think some of that's going to depend on how the rest of the defense is going, if the pass rush is getting home, if the other cornerbacks are making plays and trying to direct where Aaron Rodgers can go with the ball. But if the Packers can kind of establish that time of possession, tire this Bears defense out, and maybe keep these extended drives, I could see McManus becoming much more of a liability and really being an area of weakness for this Bears defense.
Well, and that's something that I wanted to talk to you about, because one of the things that the Bears did an awesome job of against the Rams was they said, if you want to run the ball, that is totally chill with us. We are not going to over pursue. We're not going to have our linebackers overflow, because if we do that and you hit us with play action, you are going to crush us. And they played extremely, extremely disciplined against Jared Goff, created pressure with their four, and they didn't really have to get out of their game plan. Vic Fangio put together an outstanding game plan, I thought, for Rams and what they like to do. I'm wondering if this is a game where the Packers say, Aaron Jones, we're gonna hand it to you a lot, because we think they're going to be more worried about what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. They're going to play maybe with some lighter boxes. And we're going to see maybe early on, especially, if we can get some of the running game going, because maybe then if we do, maybe we can hit some of those play action shots, because Green Bay has struggled in that area before and has not gotten that going this season. One of the few teams in the league that is not an improved passing team when they go to play action this season, which is pretty rare in the NFL. Play action passing is the most efficient play in football. So it's a little weird that they haven't done that, but I'm wondering if that's going to be a game plan to attack Chicago that way.
Yeah, that would seem like the right idea for a potential game plan for the Packers. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to need a game plan to get in on 1 week fantasy football with us and DraftKings. So what we've gone ahead and done is put together a Locked On Listener League. And what it allows you to do is join up with the rest of us here, and then we can put together different contests each week that are only going to be including myself and other listeners of all your favorite Locked On podcasts. So we'll do special Locked On Bears leagues where we'll get involved, but plenty of opportunities to get in with all of our NFL shows, and it's a great opportunity with DraftKings. So we're going to put out the link to join that league out on social media. You can find it on the Locked On Bears Twitter account, at Locked On Bears. It's in the Locked On Bears Facebook group. You just search Locked On Bears group on Facebook and request to join, and you can enter in with us there and then join in on DraftKings for even more fantasy football fun down the stretch here. Again, DraftKings is the leader in one-week fantasy sports. The promo code for a free entry on your first deposit is Locked On at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Still to come, we continue a little bit more Vic Fangio discussion before getting into our predictions for Sunday's game. That's next on Locked On Bears.
I want to bring this back to a Vic Fangio discussion, because it seems like if there's one thing that can derail the vertiginous growth of this team, it's if someone decides they want Vic Fangio to be their head coach in the offseason.
Yeah, that would be, it's a strong fear of a lot of Bears fans. And, you know, Vic Fangio is a guy that has expressed multiple times that he would like to be a head coach in the NFL if he had that opportunity. And yet, he continually is overlooked for head coaching interviews and obviously head coaching opportunities. And, you know, just kind of personally, I like him as a coach, and I think he's a good guy, and I would, you know, like to see him get that opportunity just for his own individual success in his career. And I feel for him in wanting to achieve that, but I can't help but sit here and doubt that that's going to happen. And maybe Green Bay is the type of a team and situation that, you know, has played against him enough and knows him well enough to want to go after him like that. But it would seem that given he's had some interviews in the past and really hasn't gotten much traction, you have to wonder if, you know, whether he's just bad at interviews or there's something about his personality that rubs ownership the wrong way as far as not wanting him to be the face of a franchise and the voice of a team. And he's very blunt. He's not very energetic in his speaking. He's not necessarily a high-energy, high-passion guy. And seems like a lot of times the defensive coordinators that get head coaching jobs are, you know, a little bit more on the younger side and trying to be a little bit more just kind of energetic to try and match the young, innovative offensive head coaches that are kind of taking the league by storm. So, you know, I think Green Bay would be the one team that might have the most reason and the most, I guess, the most likelihood to go after a guy like Vic Fangio, given their extended familiarity with his defense. But it just feels to me like the history of him suggests that he's just one of those coaches that just isn't going to get the opportunities despite having some pretty decent success and a pretty strong track record. I compare him to like Dave Tobe, the special teams coordinator for the Chiefs, formerly of the Bears, another guy that gets head coaching interviews, but for some reason, despite a lot of success doing what he does, just doesn't get those opportunities to be a head coach.
Well, that's another name that has been brought up in connection with the Packers because of, you know, the connection to the Chiefs with John Dorsey, Andy Reid, and Mike McCarthy have their connections, the schematic similarities with the offenses, or at least the bones of their offenses. And there have been some discussions that, hey, you know, Dave Taub with Mike Pettine staying and an OC, maybe John DeFilippo. Maybe they keep Joe Philbin as the OC. Maybe they bring back Alex Van Pelt. Maybe they bring in someone like Zach Taylor from the Rams. Those are, I think, the out-of-the-box names if they're not going to go with someone on the offensive side of the ball, a Lincoln Riley or a Josh McDaniels or an Eric Bieniemy, someone like that. I think Fangio would make sense if that's the direction they wanted to go. But it does seem to me, and from what I've heard about Fangio, is from a personality standpoint, it's not that he rubs anyone the wrong way. He's just not an alpha in the way that a lot of head coaches are. And that's not even a shot. Some people are going to take it as one. It's not. He's the kind of guy, this is what I've been told, that he's the kind of guy that sort of likes to get in the lab. He likes to coach defense. He likes to think up creative ways to attack offenses. That's what he loves to do. And that's just from a person to person standpoint, that he's just not ideally suited to run a team. I don't know. I don't have any firsthand knowledge. I'm just telling you what I've been told.
And it seems like, you know, he's not a butt kisser. You know, he's not a people pleaser. And you know, it does seem like to some extent ownership, you know, when ownership groups, or I guess presidents and CEOs of publicly owned teams get together and interview with a coach, you know, they kind of want to be buttered up a little bit. I mean, of course, it's all kind of speculative, but it just doesn't seem like he is exactly what teams are looking for in a head coach. But we are going to see his chops out there matching up with Joe Philbin in a game like this. Let's move into what we're expecting on Sunday here. I know there's whenever the Bears and Packers play, certainly recent history is on Green Bay's side in terms of the matchup, but the last couple games in the NFL is more on the Bears side. But weird things always happen when Aaron Rodgers plays the Chicago Bears. Peter, what is your feeling with the Packers coming off of a win in the Joe Philbin era, coming into Chicago to take on a Bears team, coming off of a pretty big win against the Rams in prime time? I know the Bears can clinch the NFC North with a win in this game, and I believe the Packers have already been eliminated from that, so I guess that's not extra motivation there. But what are your kind of thoughts on how this game could play out?
Well, I think if you're looking for a game to mitigate any concerns about that dead cat bounce I mentioned, it would be in Chicago against the Bears to keep your playoff hopes alive, especially with Minnesota appearing to be in free fall and what the rest of the NFC looks like. Green Bay has to be thinking, why not us? And for a team that was looking for some direction, that was looking for what Aaron Rodgers called a galvanizing moment, it may have just been the rest of the NFC completely falling apart and Green Bay finally getting that win to get off the schneid, to sort of get back on track offensively. The defense played really well. This is a great week with a lot of great energy, all of the history. I mean, I think they're going to come in focused and ready to play. The problem all year has not been that they haven't been close in these games. As you mentioned, they've just not made those one or two few plays to win it at the end. And frankly, I'm just not ready to predict that's going to change this week. I think the Packers cover the 7. This game opened at 4. Bears, a 4-point favorite. It's now a touchdown. I think that's too much, despite what Chicago looked like on Sunday. I think Green Bay is not going to be afraid of the Bears. They're not going to come in and be worried about Khalil Mack and scared. That is not a thing that's going to happen. But I think this is like 21-17, maybe even 21-20. I mean, I think this is a field goal game. It's close. And I could see one team ripping the heart of the other out. And I think either way, it's going to be like that if it's a close game, because someone's going to win late, whether it's on a defensive play or an offensive play. That is my feeling about this. And I'm not even really going out on a limb, despite the favorite part, because Bears-Packers is weird. We know weird stuff happens.
Yeah, that's what's got me stuck on this game a bit myself. That if the Bears were playing any other team, where, you know, because I think still any other team they win and they would pretty much clinch the division. So I mean, the motivation would be there regardless of if they're playing Green Bay. So I think again, if they're playing any other team this week, I'm thinking, yeah, coming off of that Rams win with the division on the line here, they looked like a true contender last week, and they're just going to keep rolling. But man, when they play Green Bay, just weird stuff happens, and I'm right there with you. I don't think the Bears are going to lose, I'm not ready to go that far, but I do think this has the potential to be close, that Aaron Rodgers can pull out some pretty crazy stuff. And I know, you know, what also gives me pause is kind of how week one started, where the Bears pulled out to such an early lead and really seemed to have the Packers number. But I guess almost because of that, it makes me weary that the Packers might keep it closer early on. So I'm ultimately going to give the Bears a little bit more of a lead. I think that seven number is about where I'd, you know, 6 or 7 point, about a touchdown when it's all said and done. I was leaning something more like, you know, 24-17, 27-20 type of a final score, where, you know, the Packers do keep it close, and there's some time there where this game is certainly in doubt. But ultimately, the Bears are the better team. They're the better coached team, like you said, and it's just the two teams headed in opposite directions at this point, and then the final score and the end of the game will ultimately reflect that. Peter, is there anything else Bears-Packers lingering here? I know my listeners are just been waiting to hear you back on this show after some of the trash going back and forth in week one about how confident you were in the Packers. And you were right, the Packers did win, but any lingering parting shots for what you're expecting on Sunday?
I just would like to say that while I think you are right about the outcome of this game, and we more or less agree on the outcome, you have put your faith and your hopes in Mitch Trubisky, and I have put mine in Aaron Rodgers. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, you know, you make a good point, but at the same time, Mitchell Trubisky throws one touchdown and three picks last week against the 11-1 Los Angeles Rams.
And they win.
And somehow that didn't matter. So once that kind of, to me, threw a lot of the logic out the window for quarterback.
How is this every good Bears team? Every good Bears team of the last 25 years looks the exact same. It's a crazy defense making turnovers, getting a couple lucky bounces, and the quarterback doing just enough to not blow every game that they win.
And all it does is leave Bears fans with optimism that, you know what, if and when that quarterback play improves, this team can be really scary.
Yeah, void of any actual evidence that they're able to get that guy. It's part of what makes this rivalry great, and it's part of why it's a great rivalry, because the Packers for 25 years have been offense, and for even longer, the Bears have been defense. So that's why this is oil and water. That's why it's fun, and that's why I enjoy doing these shows.
Oh, 100%. One of the beauties of the Locked On Podcast Network.
For sure. All right, Lauren, we will talk to you down the line. Maybe in a couple weeks again. We'll see. We'll see.
Thanks again to Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers for joining us on this crossover Wednesday edition of Locked On Bears. Hopefully that one was a little bit easier for you to swallow than it went the first time with Peter, when he was a little bit more confident in what the Green Bay Packers were up to leading into the game. He's, of course, willing to concede he thinks the Bears will win and that the two teams are in opposite directions. So hopefully it's a little bit easier on the ears this time around. And if you enjoyed our conversation, or at least could tolerate our conversation, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Bears on whatever podcast listening service it is that you use. It's the best way to keep up with all of our Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll be back putting together a little bit of a game plan for the Bears to clinch the NFC North with a win over the Green Bay Packers. We'll break down kind of some of the things they should try and fix from the first time they played Green Bay, some of the areas they can still improve from the last couple games, and what kind of traps they might need to avoid any potential letdown here against, again, the Joe Philbin-led Green Bay Packers. There's always plenty of hype, plenty of excitement in the week, and certainly leading up to Sunday with the big Bears-Packers matchup. There's really no shortage of reasons for you to bear down.